Hey guys, just a little shout out before we get into it. Audikin is finally out with their OAC bracelet, which is very exciting. We worked with them in New York to make the Coffee Club ones, which everyone loved. And you can finally go online and buy your own OAC one. And what's really cool about it is that 100% of the profits are going towards making a water well in Helen O'Beery's hometown back in Kenya. So if you're interested, go to audikin.com, check it out.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club, grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 162. Today, we are joined by another guest, another new member of the OAC, I should say, Olivia. I'm gonna say your last name. Do you guys know how to say?
I don't even attempt to pronounce it.
I always call you Markovic, but I know it's Markovic.
Yes, perfect.
Markovic. We got to think of a nickname. I've been trying with you, Olivia. You've been the hardest to nickname.
Really?
Yeah, I've been able to do everyone else. I don't know what to do with Markovic.
We got
to
keep working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep working on it. But Olivia,
welcome,
how
are
you feeling?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it true? Can we just quickly, in the video that we saw where you said that you wanted to join OAC so you could be on the Coffee Club podcast, was that actually true? Or was that just like a little bit you were doing?
That's totally why I joined the team, just for this moment.
So it turns out Kai and Olivia both only joined the team.
Olivia's sending in her resignation letter after this week.
Yeah,
she's got her Coffee Club thing. She's like, I'm out now.
Man, we got to speak Kai's to Steve about that. We got to get a cut of these deals.
I know. You guys, yeah, you're best recruiting tool.
We got to get paid somehow. But we're very excited to have Olivia on. She was the only one on the team, apart from Tyson also, but that actually went to NCAA Cross. So we had our woman on the ground. She's going to help us with our little recap of that.
Yeah.
And
we're going to help her.
We'll, as you know, we're amazing at recapping these cross races and get into her backstory a little bit. But before we do get into all of that, we have a very, very exciting bean shout out. A bean shout out where we got sent 3 bags of coffee. How amazing is that?
I think it's a new record. I think a bag each is like... That is now sitting the bar extremely high.
Way too spoiled here, mate.
I think that might be. We've had 2 before from like the same roastery, but yeah, this is next level. Yeah, it's a bean shout out that I've been excited about. The funny thing is, last week while we were recording, this package arrived from New Zealand. Like what? We went upstairs afterwards and it was at the door. So it's slightly a week delayed, but all right. The easiest way to explain it is to read the note, I think.
And,
so
a beautiful
wait,
note.
hold up the note for the camera just so people can see what's on the back there.
No, well, that's the sad thing because it's not actually true anymore. All right, anyway, it says, "Kia ora, g'day, woof, Coffee Club boys. We're sorry that the Gooch still needs a bit more TLC, Geordie, and you can't make it to Nelson to race the inaugural Spectacle Elite Mile. We hope the Spectacle merch for you and the boys helps keep you excited for next year's race. We were looking forward to taking you for a brew at Raglan Roast, so we've thrown in some beans to enjoy. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. The Spectacle team are big fans of the Coffee Club and look forward to tuning in every week. Live Coffee Club recording in Nelson next year? ?
Oh, I like it. Ending on a question.
From Annie, Julian, and Michael. So we got a big care package of merch and coffee, t-shirts, hats, Raglan Roast beans, and like the freaking sweetest stickers from... Like, maybe from the roastery?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. They're very regal.
Yeah, that's actually so sweet. And the coffee roast is called Brown Lightning.
Love that.
I don't know why that's funny, but...
Love that.
It's a great name. So basically, the gist of it is that these guys post, like, former professional runners, or at least Julian, are putting on and just, like... A huge crew in New Zealand are putting on an elite road mile in December. Like the most similar comparison is to like the Mary Mile in Honolulu, but not in competition with it, but the week after. So, I think to encourage people to like, I don't know, maybe try and start like a road mile season at the end of the year.
That's sick.
And so like 13th to 15th of December, And it's part of this like huge event in Nelson, which is like the top of the South Island in New Zealand, which is a beautiful area. It's like a big trail event. There's like up to it's like a 50K, 100K, 100 mile over the course of a weekend.
Which, did that already exist?
See, that's what I thought it did. Yeah. I think it must have. Yeah. I feel like they couldn't have put that together.
And now they're adding on this more track component and with a bunch of mile races and a 5K.
Yeah, maybe like a road 5K for like any, like all comers. And I think even the mile, I think, is open to like age groupers and like similar to, is this a Merry Mile like that? I think there is.
I think it's
like the whole time.
The day, like day after. So yeah. I think the mile's first and then the Honolulu Marathon's like, after, I think that's the main event.
And so then like before. An elite road mile at the end of the weekend with like a bunch of prize money, I think like $5,000 or $6,000 New Zealand dollars for the win. And
so that's about $2,000 American.
Yeah. Right. No need to bring that up, right?
That can buy you a coffee, couple of coffees in America.
That's good money in New Zealand.
That's good money in New Zealand, yeah.
And they're paying a bunch of athletes to go down. And I was... like I was going to be doing it, and unfortunately, in the circumstances, I'm not going this year. But hopefully, we'll make it 1 year. But a couple of people that are doing it: Neil Gawley, Vince Ciardi, Tanner, Stewie McSwain, Brian Fay, and then some women. Mostly, these are all Australian, right? Georgia Griffith, Sarah Billings, Sophie O'Sullivan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Three Aussies. One represents Ireland, but
a lot of MTC.
MTC squad.
Yeah. Is Maya Ramsden not?
Maya is too busy in
she's at
Florida
the
going to her Bauman's, what is it, awards
presentation?
Night.
Yeah, awards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, she's too good for it, George.
Yeah, exactly. So
I also noticed with these lovely beans that we've got, one of the packages has been opened. Can care to explain, George?
I don't know how that happened. All right. So I didn't open any... Wait, these hats. I didn't even see these hats. They're kind of sick, actually. I didn't open the rest of the package, but I did reach in and grab the beans last week. I couldn't wait a whole week.
What's your viewpoint? What's your consensus with these beans?
Tasty. I just want to let you guys have your own opinions.
Yeah, our own experience. Well, that's next week.
So you can each take a bag home.
Yeah. Exciting
and
stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it in the next couple of weeks as it's about to happen. But yeah, that's the spectacle. Thanks for the beans, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the package. We're definitely going to enjoy them. And we also have in the notes, I didn't even realize this, Valencia Marathon is this weekend.
Yeah, I threw that in there late and I was just talking all about it. Mostly because of what I put on there. Possible, what's his name? Andy?
Andy Buchanan.
What's his PR?
He made the Olympics.
I think he's under 210.
So he's got to be, yeah.
I think and the Australian record is 207, right?
Yeah, it sounds like 207-0 something.
But he did mention that he thinks that he had a really good article he chatted about the marathon history, well, the marathon for Australia, and he reckons that 206 is definitely in the cards, and either him or somebody else is going to run it soon. So wishing him the best of luck for it, because Valencia is a pretty amazing
it's a good place to run fast. So potential Australian record attempt maybe by Andy Buchanan, and a couple of texts with Matt Baxter. Who's running?
Matt Baxter.
Is he fit?
I don't think he wouldn't be talking about the New Zealand record if he wasn't.
What's the Kiwi record?
It's
2:22, I think.
Man, just copping it.
Just copping it with the Kiwis. I'm sorry,
George. It's too easy.
I'm sorry, George. I'm pretty sure Geordie ran the Kiwi marathon record at a long run. Yeah, Neva. I think he's run it.
I think it's like 208.0, maybe.
Yeah, that's which is very good.
Is
it an old one?
It's not.
Is it Robertson?
It's Shane Robertson.
Oh, of course. How could I forget?
Why Matt is especially motivated.
Yep. He wants to get that done.
To remove that off the New Zealand record list. So
fair enough.
That could be interesting. Although, and the other thing that's hilarious, I don't know if Baxter's going for this one, but €1 million if you break the world record in Valencia.
Really?
By the race.
We should probably enter. Guy.
Sick.
We should probably enter and just cheat. Get a taxi or something, get halfway and then just, you know. Just run it.
Some
$1 million for what the world record's 201, right?
I think it's 240.
Oh,
maybe
it's 240.
Two flat 30 something.
That
maybe?
Was done at London, right?
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah,
2 years ago.
So they some guy ran 201 last year. So I mean, it's obviously fast.
Yeah, conditions must matter then. Because if it's just really fast, conditions are going to make it look faster.
Valencia is known to be maybe the fastest course out there, or among the fastest, but it's not a major, so it doesn't get the same caliber of athletes all the time.
That is what kind of makes it a tough watch.
Yeah.
Because it's like a place to run really fast, which means it's hard to watch if you know some guys running high 2.0s. It's hard to watch, and then it's like not as many top guys at the front.
There's $1 million, damn prize money, though. That'll get a lot of the top people out there.
But maybe
I guess it's not even prize money. It's world record money.
Yeah, it's just the
record. So unless you're obscenely fit.
Yeah, you really got to bank on it.
But and good luck to friend of the pod, friend of ours, Peak Jordan Donnelly.
What's he going to run?
What did he tell me?
He's going to run 2.01.
220. I think he said 225 was realistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. They have the race going on after the recent natural disaster that hit there. That is crazy.
That is true.
Hopefully everything's
maybe they
okay
need it
there.
Maybe they need
some. Yeah, I guess it probably brings a bunch of money in.
Hopefully.
Good for the economy. Well, yeah, that'll be sweet. We'll be watching. But now, looking back to this past weekend, a little race that went down in Madison, Wisconsin, NCAA's XC, I think we can safely say, once again, lived up to the hype. Both men's and women's, individual and team, all the battles were amazing. What was the vibe out there for you, Olivia?
Oh, such good vibes. I missed college cross country so much, and I think that's like the hardest part of being out of the NCAA. But yeah, I just wanted to get back out there and run around the course and cheer for my team. So it was good vibes. There were a ton of spectators. I think, I don't know what the actual count was, but Mick was saying he thought there'd be like 8,000, 9,000 spectators out there, but there were only 5,000 tickets.
Yeah.
So
I did see it was like unlimited though.
Yeah.
You had to,
what did the ticket do?
Yeah, what did the ticket do?
He thought a lot of people would sneak onto the course, which is what.
Did you have to pay to go watch?
Well, so
So you snuck on?
Yeah. Olivia,
with the steeplechase, she just hurdled the fence.
It's easy. No, I think my sister actually snuck on, but I actually rode the team bus to the course with my team.
That's smart.
All right. What were the vibes like on the team bus?
Oh my gosh.
Was it pretty, could you just reminisce?
I felt like I should be racing. I was like, where's my jersey? I want to get back out there.
I mean, you only graduated a few months ago.
And I've already been back to visit my team twice. So I feel like I'm still a part of it. But yeah, it was exciting to be back on the bus with the pre-race vibes. I think my coach needed a distraction just driving there. So
did you get nervous?
I was more excited.
Just excited.
I was just so excited to be back in that environment.
Mm-hmm. What music does Notre Dame team play?
They weren't playing music.
Silence?
Yeah. Well, people were chatting and laughing, and I was okay, these are good vibes. People seem pretty chill. But yeah, some people had headphones on, but nobody was playing music out loud.
What is it?
I knew you were gonna ask that question.
Well, you asked.
Notre Dame, and I just forgot. We had this one song, I think, my last year. All right, you're going to have to come back to me.
We are the
gonna
champions
to find
by
it.
Queen. Is it that one?
No, it's...
No, Eminem. Mike Smith loves Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem.
I can see it.
I can't get it right today.
Matt Baxter's going to put on some Eminem.
The Wisconsin team
Baxter,
bus.
Baxter does love
He loves Eminem.
It's obvious. But Mick would always be trying to show us music that he's found, and it'd always be we don't care, Mick.
There'll be some hipster music that he saw on Willie Street or something from some artists, but he would always try and shove it down our throats.
Yeah.
What would you usually listen to pre-cross country meet? Would you listen, or would you be chatting with the ladies?
I'd be chatting with the girls, mostly. Yeah. Or when I'm getting ready in the hotel, I prefer a more chill vibe, to stay calm. So I'd listen to a lot of Noah Kahan.
Ooh.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, nice.
It's pretty chill.
Yeah.
That's good vibe.
But if you were riding with Sparks, to track meets in a smaller van, he'd always be playing, 90s rap. That's his go-to.
I kind of like that vibe as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love chatting up with the team for a cross race, though, especially.
Yeah.
That's when you need that's when you need your seventh man to just be they don't have to be that good at running, but if they're funny.
Yeah. It's just bring a good vibe.
Yeah. Just bring in the energy. That's what it's all about.
We had ultimate eighth and ninth men that were just that were just there for vibes.
Yeah.
Especially 2017 in Louisville, we had a great lineup of people not racing that really made the trip.
Vibe Patrol.
That's the best.
Yeah.
But so
if that song comes to me,
yeah,
I'll let you know.
Like, blurt it out.
Should we get into the women's race?
Yeah.
I mean, first off, we should just get out of the way. You're a woman. did not. I am. They had a tough day.
Yeah. I thought you said you are a woman.
You're a woman. Tell us what it's like.
It was a tough day for Notre Dame women. Yeah, a couple girls got really sick on Wednesday and just couldn't bounce back. And honestly, like, really proud of them for racing and even finishing the race because it seemed like they were going through a lot. And one of our other girls injured herself a little bit at ACC's. So if she didn't, then she probably would have stepped in for one of the sick girls. But, you know, these things happen and you kind of can't really control them sometimes. So it was a tough day for them. But, yeah, it was overall, I mean, we still had an All-American, Aaron Strzelecki. That was good. On the men's side, we had Isaiah Story, All-American. So that was exciting to see both of them do that.
Nice. And who was the team battle between on the women's side? Obviously, BYU. Who was contending with them? NAU was up there.
Yeah.
Initially. BYU and
West
Oregon.
West Virginia, too.
Oregon was ranked second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And had a...
What did they... They still did okay, didn't they? Or did they do terrible?
I think not good.
Okay.
Were they top 10 still?
I think so.
Maybe like 8th or 9th?
We got to get some results up.
I know.
The title of the interviews with Shalane were just like... Shalane, very disappointed with Oregon's performance.
I think there was a lot of hype. Yeah.
I was scared to open it up and hear what Shalane was going to say, but
it was BYU, Oregon, I think NAU, and then West Virginia.
NAU was second?
No, they were fourth.
They were fourth.
They're still on the podium, ranked third.
Who was second to BYU? Was it?
Providence was third.
Yeah.
Okay.
Surprise.
Was it Alabama or someone?
I don't think it was Alabama.
Dang, I should really know this.
New Mexico?
Second.
No. I think so.
I love that we don't know this. It was West Virginia.
It was
West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
God Oregon damn was it. Actually fifth in the end.
Oh, they were fifth.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. That's okay.
All right, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, other great teams missing got the fifth this weekend, you know? Other great teams got fifth. It's fine.
Are you saying Oregon's a great team?
No, I'm just saying Shalane Flanagan's a great team. Have these amazing dynasties and traditions got fifth as well. It happens, you know, George.
Sometimes fifth is really good and sometimes fifth is really bad, though.
Yeah, it depends on perspective and the legacy and dynasty of the team, right?
Yeah, but the BYU BYU women did look pretty amazing.
They
didn't have anyone like right up in the top pack. So as you watch the race, I mean, they didn't dominate. And I think initially... listened to Diljit Taylor after she said she was really worried, I think maybe through even 3K or maybe even later. But you could tell after 3K as the splits came rolling in, like the movement was in their favor and they just like slowly, slightly moved up. And then NAU, who was maybe had been leading initially,
they led the early splits,
was just sliding back a little bit and then came through, got the dub. And then at the front, there was the big battle between a bunch of Kenyans,
yeah,
dominating at the end. A girl, Doris, getting the win.
Doris,
your
yeah.
good friend,
my bestie.
Your bestie.
Yeah, and no, it was exciting to watch. The top six were like still so packed together through 5K, like even 5.5K, and then the top three split off after that, and it was
bunch
a battle to the end.
Bunch of steeplechases. Is the West Virginia girls?
Yeah,
went to the Olympics in the steeplechase?
Yeah.
Canada.
And then Doris Steeplechaser, Lexi Holiday was up there. It's exciting seeing
Steeplechase girls are starting to take over the cross-country scene here.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah.
The races were, I think both on the men's and the women's side, the races through the first few splits were almost a bit slower than what was expected. And that's just because like every cross-country race, it seems like this year and in the last couple of years has been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like they run just lights out so quick. I think on the men's side last year, wasn't the first mile Kai was telling me it was like a 420 or some shit. Something ridiculous.
I think whenever they're like Oklahoma State or like Florida State courses, the first like K is like 230.
Yeah, they just go crazy. But in this one,
the women really seemed to chill.
Their second K, I think, really slowed it down.
Yeah, they were like 10 wide.
Yeah.
I think Hilda started to take it out and she was like alone up there and then she backed off a little bit.
She was like, "Ooh, I don't want to be up here yet."
Yeah, don't want to pull that.
Too early.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very exciting racing. And yeah, BYU, I think they looked amazing all year and they got it done. So credit to them. I mean, they've just been, it's funny because BYU is a school that gets a lot of hate for a variety of reasons. But damn, they're good at running cross country, aren't they?
And executing when it matters too. They always seem to turn up.
I love Diljit.
It's definitely
it.
Dojie's like
interviews. She takes over the interviews. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, totally.
She's like, all right, my time. She'll just take over the interview. But they all interview well, and it's quite. And BYU have a very distinctive uniform as well. The white and blue, I feel like, is very easy to spot. So
yeah, they're definitely out for vengeance from last year.
NC State is not.
They're just not as good this year, I think.
Yeah, they lost some people.
Caitlin Tui's not there.
Oh yeah, Caitlin Tui.
Not getting that, it done.
Wait, what was my prediction? Oh yeah, Parker Valby. She wasn't in it, was she?
She didn't win.
She didn't win that much.
Is she DNS?
I know.
She was DNS.
Technically.
She was DNS.
I guess
technically.
Do you have to make the start list fast? Is everyone else in the world that doesn't race?
Well, I saw Kai. I saw Kai the other morning. I was like, why didn't you win? I put you down in prediction at Coffee Club to win, and he just looked at me blankly, and then I realized, oh wait, you're pro now, you're on our team. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
One thing that we as a team, the OAC, did this year, so we did it last year as well, which made the viewing experience for us a little more exciting, was we did our little fantasy. And I will say this year, I think last year some people took it kind of serious, but this year it was like real serious. I think it took us 3 or 4 days to do it because there was like 15 of us, 7 picks, texting in the picks, and then, you know, people get busy and all that. And it was very hotly contested. George and I had, Ollie didn't do it, but George and I had pretty good teams. I guess you had
even
better teams.
I was really solid through 4 people. Like, I was ahead of Dylan, who ended up winning.
Yeah.
Shout out Dylan Jacobs. But my fifth. That's what it happens across country.
It's all about the fifth man.
Just as important as the first.
Yeah. My fifth man really let me down.
Wait, who did Dylan have on his team, just out of curiosity?
We could pull
Amy
it up.
Bunnish was a huge pick for him.
So Dylan had it locked after the women's race. I can get the exact teams up. But he had it locked after the women's race because he had a crazy low score. And then he still had his top 2 picks were on the men's side. So, like, you knew that he was going to win. It was just kind of like...
Did you have a pick you were proud of? Like, someone that... Like, a sleeper pick? Because I had one that I'm pretty stoked about.
That's Schubert.
Dylan Schubert.
I sat next to Dylan Schubert's parents on the plane there.
Really?
And we were chatting.
He's from Colorado. He's a local.
And his parents were just, like, super excited, raving about how hyped up and excited he was and how good he was feeling going into this
no
race.
Way.
That's awesome.
And right when after that conversation, I was like, dang, George has a good pick.
I
told him, I was like, George Beamish picked your son for his fantasy team. And
what can I say? And
they were very flattered.
I picked him like 4th or something. Like,
I think he was still there for a while.
He was the biggest, on the men's side at least, the biggest like
over-performer from his ranking.
Dark horse.
It was the M&M haircut.
He looked so sick.
That like, haircut was dope.
The purple Furman. He had the fastest last K in the field, I'm pretty sure.
I was it. Yeah. Did you hear his story as well? That he recently was in. He got injured in outdoors, and then he was in a bike crash. I think during this season.
Jeez.
His parents were telling me about that.
Fuck! What a legend.
So it's quite a comeback.
Yeah. Damn! Yeah. Shout out.
Great story.
Shout out.
All right. So he's not the reason I lost.
I'm looking through my team, and I didn't have any sleeper picks. I just had shooting blanks coming through.
Mm.
That was my first round pick.
I had the very last pick in the draft, so I had like. Picking a low stick was tough.
Yeah.
Just use that as my excuse.
No, but Dylan, I mean, Dylan actually, yeah, he had Amy, who I think, I didn't know about her before.
I didn't know either. She's
Stanford?
Yeah, she ran super well at regionals, but that was her first race of the season. So it really could have gone either way. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So what'd she end up finishing?
She was fourth. Yeah.
Wow.
I was kind of scared to pick her because you never know how that's going to turn out. But
That's the beauty of it, right? You just don't know. It's cross country, just kind of up in the air sometimes. If you have a good day, you can crush it.
That was the thing. Making the picks on the fantasy, some of them I was putting a lot of effort into. I was going through the TIFAs of everyone and going through the regionals. And I'm like, you know, but like this is NCAA cross. Like who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's so up in the air.
And we saw that once again with people coming through that it's just so hard to predict. But that's what makes it so exciting, I guess.
My sleeper pick was Yassine, which I feel he's been running well. But like last year, I guess he was sick.
I mean, he way overperformed, I think, what anyone predicted. Because even on the Arkansas team, I think he's been the 3rd or 4th runner so far this season. Yeah. And then he came 4th in the end, I think.
Fourth.
That marathon strength.
I know, right?
Yeah,
he's funny. Him and Ethan Strand both helped my team a lot.
Ethan Strand ran amazing for a 1,500 guy.
Yeah,
same with Liam Murphy. I was really impressed with
Liam Murphy, Gary Martin.
Gary Martin.
Like, all these like ACC 1500 guys.
Yeah, what's going on
there?
That's
crazy.
It's all that double threshold. It's kind of paying off in the cross country scene.
Yeah. So I guess we're onto the men's race. And yeah, like men's race, similar to the women's, it was seeming a little bit tactical, even though they were running really fast. It was like almost tactical where you could see, I found it really interesting that Graham Blanks, like, so Kai and I were watching it together, and Shooting Blanks was running so far on the outside the whole time. And we were both like, what is this guy doing? Like, run the tangents, bro. And then in his post-race interview, he's literally like, yeah.
Park of Albi all over again.
That's what we were thinking. And then he said, no, because they asked him about the falls, if they impacted him. He said, no, like, I decided to run the outside. So I would avoid all the carnage and the falls. I'm like, well.
It worked out well for him.
It worked out real well because there were some crazy falls. One thing that I don't know, I didn't see this get talked about that much, is that, so spoiler, BYU also won the men's, completing the sweep, third school or fourth school in history to do it. But they only beat Iowa State by maybe 15 points, and Iowa State's like really best close. Guy fell over.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I didn't know that was Iowa State.
Yeah, it was like one of their best guys.
Near the end of the race, right?
Wow.
It was like deep in the race.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing it, and the commentators talking about it was kind of an intense fall. He hit the ground hard.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't know if he was, because you couldn't see because he was kind of behind the front pack, and you just see this guy go down. He's yellow and
red
shorts, and you just see him go down. He hits the ground hard, but you don't know if it's him tripping himself or if somebody.
Was that the
him.
Fall that Hebden lost this year?
No, he
I
lost
think he already
shoe.
Lost, had lost it.
Yeah.
Already earlier. Didn't have it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Because he just kicked it off. It was like kind of off his heel and then he just kicked it off.
Got flat tired.
Yeah.
That
is
also
flat
insane.
Flat tired, got second.
Yeah. No, because we were watching the race and maybe you guys had a similar reaction or a similar thoughts where we're like, why is Hebden not taking it? Like, you would think being sub 27 guy, he's going to take it at some point, kind of his style. But then, like, I didn't notice till real late that he only had one shoe on, and then we're like, what the hell? How is he doing this? How is
Dude,
he pulling
remember
this off?
Yeah. At NCAAs last year?
He fell
and then still won. Wait, he still won, right?
Yeah.
The 10 or something?
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Drama. I think he lost
Adversity.
His shoe like 5K in. So he had
I think
half
way.
The race.
Yeah.
It's a monster feat.
There was a picture, I think maybe Citrus Mag, where you could see his foot and it was like very bloody.
Yeah.
I loved his like celebration in the last like 10 meters. Like he was pumped to still be getting taken.
Yeah.
That's so impressive. And then, also they traded.
And then
jerseys.
The jersey trade.
That was
that was sick.
That was cool. That,
we should start trading jerseys with people. That's so cool.
I think that needs to become like that in the shoey, like in the professional scene. I want to see people take a shoey. Not out of the Nike spike, obviously, because there's a hole there. But out of like a spike, just take a shoey and also do a jersey. Maybe a jersey swap of like a big race. Like if like it's a world championship or something and like Yara could swap with.
I guess a national jersey would be the. A national jersey would be
the
one.
Jersey, but if it's like a national difference there.
Would you swap a pro jersey? Is that like not kosh?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. You can't wear it, but you could.
But you could like, it's maybe still cool. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's with the right person.
Yeah, maybe.
If you're competing against like Mondo and Mondo's like, hey, do you want to swap jerseys? I'd be like, yes.
The Red Bull Puma jersey.
I would definitely take it.
That would be sweet. And then we got to talk about Wisconsin as well, because from our little circle, it was so exciting because they raced it so well. I don't know if you could see it like being there in person, them coming through. Wait, what was your viewing? Like, how did you watch the race? Were you running the course?
I was running around. So honestly, I feel like being on the course, you kind of miss some stuff that you would see on the live stream.
Okay,
so
yeah
like
it's
I
hard.
Didn't see the fall or Hopton losing a shoe or anything, but. Yeah, I was running around with my teammates. We had like 40 of us. Basically everyone from Notre Dame who didn't run came out to watch. And so we just ran like to a few different places. But there were also so many spectators, so it's like you gotta dodge people.
Yeah, it's hard to find a spot. Like
yeah.
You need to like
Yeah. So I could only see like two or three spots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the stream you could see pretty well, like, and they did a really good job updating the splits as well, like the team splits and the Wisconsin men. So we had Big Ten Bob, our leader. The King Bob, he went out real conservative, which apparently he said like he thinks that he's underperformed a bit in the last few NCAAs just because he's gone out too hard. So I think that was kind of on his mind. And so he went out back in like he was 100th something at 1K and came through. But then I was a bit worried because at those splits, the Wisconsin men I think they were in like 27th or something. Like they were real at the first splits. And then every split, they just. As a pack, you could see them working together and moving through. And then they end up fourth and almost third for a second.
Yeah, almost third. Scoreboard third. Yeah. Third. I was by the scoreboard when they were updating the scores at the finish. Yeah. And Wisconsin, there were so many Wisconsin fans there, obviously. Yeah. But when they bumped down to fourth, everyone was like, oh.
Yeah. But still.
Who ended up third?
Arkansas. I think because Arkansas's fifth man was like way further back. So
it took a while to update.
So it took a while, yeah, for that to get in there. But I don't know. It was sick, right?
It was pretty. It was pretty. I mean,
it's what you guys. What's what you guys were trying to do, right? The last time was in Wisconsin. Exactly.
Reminiscing with my mom about it because I think the year it was in Madison last, we were ranked fourth going in. Morgan was a favorite to win. I was in great shape to hopefully run like All American, and Owen, incredible runner. We had Ben Ardenshink and a few other really talented Wisconsin. Like a lot, like we had the talent for it, but we could never pull it off. Like I think we were ninth or tenth.
I think you were ranked fourth. You finished eighth or ninth this time. Yeah. You were ranked eighth or ninth.
They finished fourth.
Got the job done.
The most impressive
thing I think for the boys was they came through really strong at the end, which is usually what happened to us was we'd usually be all right and then we'd just drop back the last few K. We'd lose a lot of places, but it was great to see it because I texted Mick and congratulated him and he was obviously very stoked. So to get a podium finish at your home course, particularly if you're ranked that far back, is awesome, and it's great to see those boys. I think what did Bob end up finishing? Was he like in
around
the teens?
15th.
Yeah, he was in the teens. Really, and good. Then Adam Spencer, shout out, he's a mid D guy, ran a 10K, almost got All-American.
Did you see what he was wearing though?
I did see what he was wearing.
He had the half tights with the split shorts on top. I was like, come on, man.
That's probably worth, must be worth like 40 places.
Yeah, it was criminal to wear that.
That was the fourth
Spenno,
I heard, probably.
Spenno, if you're listening to this, mate, come on.
That's diabolical. What?
And it was white. Like, it was the Under Armour white one. So
white on white?
Yeah.
Wait, is that, maybe that's white.
Yeah, it's just, nah.
Like, maybe something had happened. Maybe it's something that happened to his white half tights.
You had to put something over them. Smart, actually.
Very smart. But I didn't know this out of that team. I think there's only two Americans in the Wisconsin team of the top five.
Yeah, I was looking at them like, who are all these
people?
Yeah,
there's like one from
New Zealand. There's a British and a Kiwi.
Yeah.
Really?
They got a Kiwi.
A Brit?
I think they're pretty young.
Yeah.
I think.
There were quite a few.
A lot younger than us.
There were quite a few New Zealanders in both races, actually.
Yeah.
And Aussies as well.
A lot of Aussies. It's getting a lot of international. It's very getting international. More international really. Every year. I
Providence women didn't. Providence women didn't have one American.
Really?
They came third. It was like four English chicks or something. Northern Irish, a Kiwi, and an Irish girl or something.
That's crazy.
I don't know. They're all from all over.
Checks out. On the men's side, team wise, Oklahoma State were kind of the big. Almost surprise in their underperformance. Mm. I didn't see the interview with Dave Smith. What did he say about it?
I just
it?
Saw a couple of clips from it. But yeah, they were like, if not, I mean, I think BYU were ranked number one, but I think it was like slim margins.
Mm. Well, and last year they won, right?
Dude, they scored like 40-something points last year.
It was insane.
I think they had like four in the top 10 or 15. Like, it was actually insane.
Mm-hmm.
I think in... Was that in Oklahoma State last year? Was it at
Virginia?
Home?
Virginia, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was the year. Yeah. I think just, like, acknowledging how hard it is to, like, stay at the top of the NCAA. Like, young people, they all didn't have a good day. Like, and just, like, acknowledging how hard it is to perform on a single given day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, he's had four opportunities to defend a title, and he's only defended it once. Just like how hard it is, basically.
You know who can't say that? Mike Smith.
Mike Smith.
that is also what he gave NAU some credit for finishing the top two for 7 years in a row.
Mike Smith's last NCAA cross, that's kind of legendary right there.
End of an era.
Ended on a pretty damn good note still. I mean, the expectations are way too high.
Yeah.
But...
Fourth place and a fifth place. I'm sure they would have loved to both end up on the podium, but I think the men still outperformed their ranking by one or two places. Without like, you know, the
depth
that
they used
to have.
Anyone in the top 10? Like, you need a couple people. Yeah, if you're coming fifth and then you throw a couple people in the top 10, then you're right up there.
I did notice with this NCAA course, particularly for the men, though, it was very individual heavy. I think like a lot of the individuals that were in the top 10, 15 didn't really have very strong teams. Whereas, like, I mean, like, for example, like, for Wisconsin getting fourth and only having one All-American, a few years ago, you'd have to have two or three to kind of even get into the podium. True. It was very, very top heavy with the teams, and now it seems to be more individual stars with maybe a bit more diluted teams. So it's definitely made it much more interesting tactic-wise to compete because, for example, like most teams are probably running a lot together later back, you know, maybe in 100th and then pushing forward. So that's pretty interesting. They don't have the low sticks of George Beamish and Luis and Baxter anymore.
Does not apply to me.
You're all American, though.
It doesn't make you a low stick.
I mean, it does now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so BYU, they had Casey Klinger was up the front leading.
Dude, with like 2K to go, it looked like he was trying to put a move on.
Good.
He was the one pushing a lot of it. And yeah, did you guys see the picture that made it onto No Context?
I did see that.
It was like a picture of him winning. He was the NXN champ from 2015, and he's racing the NXN champ from 2023.
Yeah. That's actually bonkers.
I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about that all the time. Not going to let BYU forget how old they are. But they're so good. Like, in the men's side, I mean, I'm kind of like, I guess I know a bit more what's going on with men than the women generally. And just like seeing how good they do, just blows my mind the way that they're able to get these people whose names like I don't know to be able to just run in the top 10 or the top 20 and just stick there and just
like their second runner Creed something Thompson like or something. 11th or 12th he finished a lower place at like conference.
Yeah, how's that possible?
And then they show up to NCAAs and they're just and just, I mean, they're doing something right, and maybe it might have been the olive oil.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I saw that. At the start.
I love that.
I was watching with Meg, and Meg's like, "Why are they putting olive oil on their arms?" And I was like, "Bro, I don't even know." And
yeah, it works.
They had an interview afterwards. Apparently, it helps with the cold.
It's cold out there. Like we would put Vaseline on our knees.
Yeah, well, that's what I support the olive oil. That's like a nice natural alternative to like petroleum jelly.
Yeah, it's definitely
that's so funny.
No, it's a good move.
You end up smelling good.
Yeah.
What did you? I soon said something. They come home smelling like a pizza.
Yum, yum, yum. It was crazy. I was watching like James Corrigan, Olympian, and he's like their seventh runner.
Dude, didn't even score.
That's crazy.
What do they do? Do we need to start on some lifestyle changes? I don't know. Maybe not the Mormon side of it.
So, Cinta and I have recently been watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen that?
I've seen a lot about it.
Apparently, it's incredible TV. Sage has been talking about it.
So addicting.
I haven't seen the actual show, but I'm on TikTok.
I highly recommend it.
What are your takeaways?
Yeah, I'm trying to link that, what I've viewed on there, and link it to running somehow. it's not easy.
Yeah.
Because the women on that show are living a very different lifestyle that's not very conducive to running.
Yeah.
My biggest takeaway so far is it's crazy the amount of sugar that they consume.
Yeah.
Because
the 44 ounce sodas.
Well, because they can't have like caffeine and alcohol. They just
make up for it with sugar.
They do this thing. Ollie, don't go to Utah.
Dude, I'm like thinking about booking a flight right now.
So they have like, I don't know if they're not restaurants. They're just for drinks. They're like cafes.
Oh, like the soda shops.
Yeah,
like
soda shops.
Yeah, Jenna loves. Jenna gets them when she goes.
You know about
in Utah.
These?
Yeah, Jenna loves them.
So they take sodas that exist, soft drinks, right, and then they add extra sugar and other flavors to them. So
you add like syrups
Mountain Dew
and stuff,
and they make it sweeter.
Dude, do all these Mormons have veneers or something like that? How do their teeth survive? Like even with soda alone, it's really bad.
And they eat so many donuts and cook. Like that's just what they do when they party because they can't do.
Yeah, so they just go on a sugar.
So they're all just on sugar highs.
Sugar highs, yeah.
So I think
I need to watch this show.
They're carved up.
That's actually good. That's actually good learning right there. I think that's really worthwhile.
That's very interesting.
That and no running on Sundays.
No running on Sundays. That's right.
Take a day off and eat a shit ton of sugar.
My question that I'm loving to ask our team: how do you think we would do in that race situation? Olivia, you were there. How do you think you would have done that women's race? Do you reckon you would have crushed it?
Oh my gosh. I wanted to be back.
You wanted to be back in it. You'd be like, I want to race right now.
Yeah, I want to rematch with Doris.
Yeah.
No, but those girls are absolutely crushing it.
It's pretty pretty incredible at that like collegiate level. You still think, wow, these
they and
can
it's
compete
such
with the very best.
Such a toss up too. Like those top six, I feel like any of them could have won on any day.
Yeah, if they're on a good day.
Which very makes it exciting.
I was definitely thinking on the men's side, if we had the top five boys here at the OAC, could they win the team title?
Which I think honestly, we would win.
I think we would because looking at how well Dylan and Kai are doing at training, I was like, dude, they'd carry us pretty hard. Yeah. They'd definitely carry me and Yared if we were on this side.
Dude, we could take the team title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, I mean,
we also have
Shooting Blanks is running unbelievably.
Yeah.
This guy's very good right now.
He's just as good as any professional runner.
I would love to see him. I just have this vision of like him, Joe, and Morgan like sprinting the last 200 meters, but all gassed out.
I think we could get it done over BYU. And we'd have an elite like squad going in there. One of the things I was going to say, just talking about BYU, have you seen the training videos of them? Where they have like 100 people out there.
Their team is so
I think they have no cap on their roster. They have like 100 people and they're just all sprinting around a grass field.
Do they have scholarships or?
Well, it's just everyone, it's just a lot of good Mormons go to BYU.
I think if you're Mormon.
It's like education's free.
It's very cheap. Yeah, if not, I don't know. Is it free? Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Cheap. Got to be real cheap.
If you're not Mormon though, say like I wanted to relinquish my professional status, to give all my money back. Give Gus back, give my car back, and then go back to college.
You could maybe make top seven.
Could I go to BYU and do I have to pay?
You don't have
to. Because I'm not.
I think you have to be part of the church.
You can just join the church.
Yeah.
Join the church.
Yeah, you could do that.
And then I would make top seven, George, you reckon?
I think you got a shot.
But the issue is I would definitely become a diabetic if I lived there. For sure, mate.
Only if you stopped running.
That's
you
true.
Just have to leave as soon as you stop running.
As soon as I retire, just not stay there. Otherwise, I'd end up not being good for my health.
Is Blanks running track?
2 weeks.
For Harvard?
Yeah. He's still got full eligibility.
For both seasons, wow.
Yeah. He's 22, isn't he?
Well, because you know, if you're at the Ivy then and you're still there competing, that means you're within 4 years.
He's 22, correct, age-wise?
He's young.
I was telling, I was just telling my fam, like, impressive career already. Back-to-back NCAA winner, Olympian for the US, and also NCAA record holder in the 5K indoors. Does he still have that?
No, Nico ran 12:50.
Oh, Nico did get it.
7 or 8, but maybe he might be in 2 weeks.
He might be 2 weeks. He could get that back.
He said he was going for
dude, incredible career, man. Like, and you would never, I mean, not that you would never.
Shout out to Gibby.
Shout out to Harvard as well. Out of all schools, you think, okay, maybe it's an Oregon kid, maybe it's an NAU kid, maybe it's a Wisco kid. A Harvard kid breaking all those records, you're looking at it and it's like, wow, it's pretty sick. Cause
it makes sense in our sport, though, I reckon.
It does, but also I think with scholarships too, like they don't give out scholarships Harvard, right? So like it's cool to see someone just go to Harvard and then just crush and running. I think that's a cool thing because usually, it's a scholarship game where, okay, that school offers good scholarships. They have good athletes, but to see voted for Pedro crushing it. Graham voted for Pedro. We all voted for Pedro. So that was pretty sick.
Yeah.
Should get him back on the pod, honestly.
Yeah, he's probably too big for us now.
Yeah. We got him at the right time.
We get on there. Nah, he's funny. And I do love his interviews. And yeah, he has full eligibility. And then this year, like different from last year, he scraped his way onto the US team. Whereas this year, with how late Worlds is, and he's obviously going to go professional, he'll be able to have a full, like, be able to take a break off into the blaze and get back into it probably. I don't know. So it's going to be a big year for him. Shout out to kind of Parker Wolf as well, who we had heard that he'd been injured during the season. He still rallied and came around 10th. So that was impressive to see. I think he probably, honestly, after the first race of the year, I thought he was going to win. And then, so it's probably really hard for him to go from like NCAA champ in the outdoor 5K to a lot of pressure and then injury. About, I think he's still young as well.
Yeah, senior, right?
I don't think he's a senior, is he?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, maybe he's not that young. I thought he was really young because I thought he was even, I don't know, maybe he's a senior, I guess. I don't know. But regardless, there's going to be some amazing
sophomore, junior,
match-ups.
Senior anymore. I feel like they just have whatever. I think you just turn up at the end of the day now in the NCAA.
You're in the NCAA. It doesn't matter.
You're just in it. This is my third year. I'm a 35-year-old guy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Ollie did ask Olivia how she thought she would do, and she was pretty humble about it, considering that last year she did come third in the race. So,
yeah, you didn't give me an actual result. You're just kind of like, I would love to compete, but yeah.
Olivia is very, very, very good at running. She's very good at the steeplechase, very good at cross country. One thing that's really surprised me so far is the fact that I've heard that in the last few weeks you've put in, like, considering that you are that athlete who, third in NCAAs, I've seen you crushing aerobic workouts or all workouts, but like these four-style workouts recently, that you've just now putting in your highest mileage ever, and it's like 60 miles a week.
Yeah, 60
that's crazy
was my max
to me.
In high or college, but
you got a good coach.
Yeah, he did things well. Yeah, But now Dathan's calling me Marathon Markovic because apparently.
Seriously? Oh, that's dangerous.
I know. It makes that's me worried. He joked about me doing New York next year.
In the first 2 months of your pro.
Of
moving out here. I can see Dathan pacing his house going, she's going to be a marathon star.
Yeah. Makes me a little nervous.
Oh, no.
This is a dream for everyone, though, let's be honest.
Yeah. He wants everybody that's currently on the team, he just wants them to just continue and just be marathon runners when they're like 35. He doesn't want anyone to leave.
Yeah.
He's way more invested in my training since I'm doing the half. Even though I'm still, I haven't told him that I'm going to focus on the 5K next year, but he thinks I'm moving up to the marathon, so he's way more into it. It's working out really well.
That's good,
because
then you can have that bonding phase, and then when you go back to the 5K, he's like, okay, well, the future there. It's there. The marathon's there.
But
just got to lead him on.
Yeah, as long as I can, just to get that attention. But no, how has the transition been so far? It looks like you've been crushing it.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a smooth transition. I mean, I kind of got used to Dathan's training over the summer, just going straight into it after the trials. And Dathan and Sparks did a good job talking and blending training, it seems like, over that summer of like a trial period of being pro and getting into pro races. And so, yeah, I feel like their training is honestly pretty similar. So it hasn't been anything too crazy to get used to, but I've been liking it.
And you had an amazing amount of success last year, both at the as a collegiate, but even after that, we'll talk about obviously USA's what went down there, and you were in the Diamond League final last, like 1 month after leaving college, you're qualifying for the Diamond League final, like absolutely like crushing already, everything's clicking. Yeah, I guess we should talk about USA's because that was
the trials.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it was a little crazy, a little disappointing, but you know, that stuff happens and you learn from it.
Was that your first race?
That was my first race for OAC. Yeah,
for OAC. Yeah,
as a pro. And I felt great. It was good. You looked great.
Yeah.
Up until the last water jump, and I clipped that water jump, and the landing was just like super tough and shot my legs. And then I went over that last hurdle and just belly flopped onto the track. Yeah. But
got back up. Still ran a PB.
Still ran a PR.
9:14.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and you came. You still came. Was it sixth?
Sixth place. Yeah.
And you ran, what was the, sorry, you might not know this. What was the, do you know what the trials record was before that race?
Oh, I think it was like 9:09.
Okay.
I'm not sure though. But then Val ran 9:06. Maybe it was a little
something
above 9:10, somewhere around there.
But the base of US Steeplewoman right now is,
it's incredible.
Is it as good as it's ever been?
I'd say it would
specifically
be.
In that race, I think it
in that race, it seemed like
the
best.
The depth in it is insane.
I think eight people ran the A standard.
Yeah. Like maybe a few years ago, it was like, okay, Emma and Courtney were running like 8:57 or whatever the heck.
Is it under 9?
8:50.
What is the American record? Is it under 9?
8:55, I think. Or 8:57. Oh. No, it's 8:57.
It's something crazy. Yeah.
Has Emma Coburn run under 9 minutes?
I don't know if she has.
I think 9 flat.
Maybe 9 flat. But,
like,
and
but it seemed
Courtney.
Like there was less depth, and now it seems like there's kind of more people in the 9.0s to 9.10s.
It's very competitive.
Is that how you'd describe it?
Yeah, probably? I would say so. I would say there's a lot of depth, too. Like, and I think that's the thing with steeplechase. You never know who's going to rise to the top in any race. Like, anything can happen. It's so volatile. Anyone can fall.
Oh, yeah, we experienced that twice with you and with Leah. Our first year, she was in a position to make the games, and she tripped in the last lap.
I was watching that race. Yeah.
Then, I mean, Chrissy Gear as well, like when she won, was it the Eugene World Championships qualification?
That was USA's 2023.
Yeah, like she won that, and I don't think anybody picked her to win that. So
exactly.
It's pretty, I mean, that's why steeplechase is very entertaining, I think.
Yeah, it's so entertaining. And Marissa Howard, like, qualified for the Olympics with
massive PB.
22 second PB or something like insane. That. It's insane.
It's a pretty amazing event. I think it's very exciting. Once you get to, like, you know the players, and you're just like, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm nervous. So
anything can happen.
Yeah,
it's super fun to watch.
It's a great event to watch.
But coming out of college, you're in an amazing spot. Like, to kind of have the base of already having run as fast as you've run, and, like, now you're becoming a pro, so you assume you're going to, you know, progress and get better and better. You're in an amazing spot to kind of ride that wave, hopefully to the top.
Yeah.
we'll be watching it. Looking at your progression, it is pretty crazy, though. Maybe we'll take a step back. So you're from Washington, high school. You told me before you're from a smaller high school, state champ. Your father, how good was he at running?
He was good. He ran at Notre Dame as well, so followed in his footsteps. But he was All-American in cross-country, 11th place, which was my first All-American as well. So we had, like, our 11th place trophies next to each other in his office for a bit. He was school record holder for a while in the 10K. And then his senior year, I think it was between, like, him and one other guy who were ranked top two for the 10K at NCAAs for outdoor track. And he was on – he ended up having a stress fracture, and he was on the phone with the team doctor the night before the race deciding if he should run or not. Mm-hmm. But it was bad enough that you could see on the x-ray. So they ended up deciding, like, if he ran, it could break all the way through and it'd be best if he didn't.
Damn. So. But he was pretty legit.
But he was legit, yeah.
Yeah. And is it true that – were you a walk-on at Notre Dame, or is that not true?
Yeah, that's – yeah.
Because I saw that in your Wikipedia, and I was like – is this, like, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, so I technically had book scholarship. So, like, the very minimal amount of scholarship that you can get, I just got, like, free textbooks. But Sparks says I was a walk-on. He's like, no, technically you were a walk-on. Like, claim that. And then to be able to progress from where I was coming in to, like, where I ended up in college was, like, absolutely incredible. And obviously it's all due to Sparks and his incredible coaching.
That is kind of what I want to talk about, because you started in 2019. And then COVID, you competed 2019.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened, so there's no races for a period of time. And then you came out on the other side and you were, like, you know, exploding. Like, you just were so much better. Was that kind of how it was in your experience? Like,
COVID, honestly,
you just trained and then you came out on the other side just so a new athlete?
A little bit. COVID was kind of, like, the biggest blessing for me. Like, not only for giving me a full fifth year, because I don't know if I would have gone pro if I didn't have a fifth year. And I never redshirted a season for an injury. So that was, like, super beneficial to have that extra year. But my freshman year, COVID happened. Outdoor track got canceled. Sophomore year, we still had, like, somewhat of a cross-country season, but that didn't go that great. And then we went home for Thanksgiving break, and our winter break was 10 weeks long because we, like, ended semester one at Thanksgiving and then didn't start again until, like, February or something. And so having those 10 weeks to just train and, like, put in, like, good, like, endurance space training and get – that was the first time I got up to 60 miles. That was, like, super beneficial. And then I came back. We had an indoor season, and I qualified for the indoor 3K nationals, which I think was kind of, like, the turning point in my running career where I was – I kind of saw myself as being able to be at the top of the NCAA.
Yeah. Well, you did have a lot of success in – like, indoors as well. Like, it's not like you were just, like, a steeplechaser. I mean, you came second, I believe, in the indoor 3K and the DMR.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're, like, I mean, you're behind, like, Parker Valby.
Yeah, and then...
arguably the greatest of all time.
Second behind Caitlin Tui the year before.
Yeah.
I got second a lot.
Yeah. Is that the indoor 3K must be one of your favorite events to run as well?
It's a ton of fun, yeah. I mean, my favorite is, like, the DMR. You can't beat that. Mm. Just having your team and the excitement around that, but... the 3K's up there too.
Yeah. Yeah, the DMI, you were behind. Was it BYU as well there?
It was BYU. Yeah. Their anchor had the race of her life. Yeah. But yeah, that was incredible.
Dude, they just pull it off every time.
They do.
Every time.
Yeah.
They get it done. I was very jealous of the indoor facility. Now that we're talking about indoors, that you guys had at Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
You probably didn't ever run on them, did you, George? But their track is a bit over 300.
Yeah, it's 320, so it's exactly 5 laps to a mile, which is really nice.
And you just feel, like, so fast running on it.
Yeah, and it's super easy to, like, pace workouts and see your split, because I just divide, like, if you're running a 5-minute mile, it's just 60-second laps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we would also do that in the dome, but in lane, like, 5 or 6. It was like 320 if you were out in, like, lane 5. Be really nice, and we ran a lot of 5-minute miles.
Yeah.
That is nice. Cinta was, sorry, you go.
No, go.
Cinta was telling me that, did you battle with Cinta in the DMR in college
did.
As well?
I sent a photo of that to her. Yeah. But that was like, we battled as the anchors in our DMR and she just outkicked me.
Was that NCAAs in 22?
That wasn't even NCAAs. That was Alex Wilson.
Oh, that was at Notre Dame.
The meet at Notre Dame, the meet where, like, everyone's trying to run a last DMR to qualify for nationals.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And you did, so you won an NCAA title in the steeple your second last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. So you had so much success there. And you said you don't think you would have gone pro if you had a fifth year.
I don't know.
I'm trying to work out that comment as well, because you said that and I'm thinking, shit, how did I go pro? I did not. I also did not place. I think I placed like twice maybe in the 15. Like I won once. I was like, Olivia, what's going on here?
I mean, what do you mean by that? My senior year, like before my fifth, I mean, I knew I was coming back for a fifth year.
You already had an NIL your fifth year off your fourth year.
Yeah.
So you already were sponsored.
Well, I think my mindset senior year was still just like run a fifth year and then get a normal job. And the deciding factor to go pro was when I got fourth at USA's in 2023, like the summer before my fifth year. So that was like the turning point.
Wait, you got fourth the year before?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, and that's probably why I got the NIL too.
But that's just so Notre Dame of you, because that's probably exactly what Yard was saying as well.
Yeah, no, but like, if that was the end of my career and I wasn't going back to the NCAA, then I probably would have hopefully had a job lined up and just started working.
What kind of normal job are we talking?
Like consulting or marketing research, something.
Just business.
Yeah,
something very, you know, like thrilling. Very intelligent. Something Notre thrilling. Dame standard. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. There must be some sort of like culture thing there at Notre Dame that where it's like
very locked in on
the life and the actual real world out there, because you and Jared have had the same thing where it's like,
and none of us, the rest of us feel the same.
Very, very talented, very talented runner, could easily go pro, make a career out of it. It's like, I'll probably get a job.
Yeah.
It's like me convincing Jared, like, oh, you should just milk this. Just milk this career. He's like, nope, dentistry. I'm doing dentistry this time. Got it all planned out. I was like,
I mean,
the best runners.
You're not really going to put yourself through that unless you want that education to have a good job.
That's
like
true.
It's a tough school. So
it is
people
a tough
there,
school.
You know, they want to be well-rounded.
Do you reckon that helped you with your running, how competitive it was, even in the classroom to when it's on the track? I feel like that kind of helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you're like, oh, I just need a break and I'm just going to hang out with the girls. And
yeah. I mean, it was definitely, everyone there is just such a top tier student and athlete in person. And so,
man, I hate Notre Dame.
It's just so type A. And so, you know, it definitely like raises the bar for you.
I just want to let you know, Olivia, Wisconsin's also a great school.
No, it is. And
Notre Dame's all right.
NAU's great too.
Thanks, Olivia. That means a lot.
Yeah. NAU's got the dome.
Exactly.
The Lumberjacks, baby.
Jacks.
Yeah.
All right. So funny.
Let's get back to running. Enough of this.
Yeah, enough of the brainy stuff.
Wait, did you run steeple in high school?
I did a little bit. I always thought it looked kind of cool just watching it. They had it at like one preseason meet in high school, and then my coach was like, oh, you're gonna get injured. Like you shouldn't try that. You're just gonna injure yourself. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then my junior year, she stepped down from coaching track, so my dad took over our track team, and they had steeple at like a postseason meet, like Portland Track Festival, and he was like, oh, well, you could do it after the season. Like, you know, you don't want to ruin your season by doing it in preseason. But so we just looked up some YouTube videos and watched how to do a water jump and went to a public track and put the...
That's what George did as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
We put the barrier over the sand pit and just tried it, and I entered Portland Track Festival, and I thought it was super fun. So I knew I wanted to try that in college.
What did you run as a high schooler? Do you remember?
It was
probably only 2K, right?
It was 2K for, I did Portland Track Festival and then New Balance Nationals, and I think it was like, I don't even know what my time was. I hope this isn't wrong, but I think it was somewhere around like 6:17 or something for 2K.
That's pretty quick.
It does sound kind of fast.
It's really quick.
I don't know.
But
maybe
you're
wrong.
Very quick.
Maybe.
Yeah, no. That's like,
it might be like 6:54, honestly. Like,
okay, somewhere in that range.
Somewhere in that range.
There was a six at the front.
There's
definitely
a six.
Yeah, that's the important part.
I could run that.
Sub 7. That's quicker than I ran in my 2K steeple when I was in high school.
Really?
6:17, I think it probably is.
Dang. Okay, it's probably much slower.
Yeah, I was really very bad.
You got to remember, there is a hurdling factor to this, Olivia, and I don't know if we're very good hurdlers other than this gentleman over here.
Yeah. Yeah. I did one 3K in high school, though, and that was 11:01. So I do remember that. That was in Miami, though. So it was really hot.
Miami.
Yeah, that was for to qualify for like under 20 worlds.
Oh, cool.
Which I didn't qualify, but it was fun.
Yeah. Fair. So, wow, you have been, because I always thought it was kind of weird in America that a lot of people don't start steepling until college. Because in Australia, we do, like a lot of people that do the steeple chase, they've done it since they're probably like 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. Is it more normal? age to get into it. So it is cool that you actually started before college. You've been very true, very loyal to your event.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad honestly really encouraged me to do that because I think he, I really need to do a lot of fact checking, but he did it in eighth grade in New York, and it is a part of the regular season in New York. So I think he might still have the eighth grade like New York record in the steeple.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good runners come through New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
Do you like doing all the hurdle stuff? Like
hurdle drills?
Drills, workouts. I know. I always see you're always doing the hurdle stretch still.
Yeah. Like now. Well, I need to stretch a lot. I'm like not, I'm which not is naturally like, flexible.
I don't know when you're going to run a steeple. 6 months maybe?
Yeah.
But you're on the hurdle stretch grind.
Yeah.
I could learn a thing or two probably.
It's just natural. I think it's just natural for Olivia. Like post-run, she just goes into the stretch position.
Yeah. Second I have nature. To. Yeah.
Jordy, you've
it's
got
going to be nice when I'm having someone else at practice.
You can mentor Jordy, Olivia.
I don't know. We need to get one of the woman barriers built. I see that barrier at the team gym. But it doesn't seem like it can be adjusted.
Yeah,
to a
that's not
side.
Very.
It's just a piece of wood. Yeah. I don't think it'll be adjusted. Oh,
the
you
one
just
at the
on
the
one.
One at the track is adjustable.
They do have one at the track. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Or you just hurdle the one that Dathan made, and then when the women's steeple comes up,
yeah,
you just see Olivia. Imagine
how good you'll be if you just train at the men's.
And there
height.
Goes Olivia. Yeah. She just cleared the whole water pit because she's
so
been
true.
Hurtling.
That's
amazing.
That's a secret.
Or I would just train on the women's ones, and I would and just be run like the reps would just be so fast that then I'll go back.
And then you get in a race and you're like, what am I doing?
And then you literally just almost clip the top of the bar. You're like, oh shit, this is not the women's hurdle.
After the fall at USA's, was there any like hurdle, like mental?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Block with seeing a hurdle after that?
Yeah, and there's just
and then, like,
so
the
much.
Next race was like.
Yeah, well, so.
Because I know you fell. I don't know if you know. I know Olivia fell before the. Paris Diamond League, like in warming up, like,
so
just doing a hurdle stride.
A week before,
Dathan was scared out of his mind.
Oh god, I can imagine it.
Yeah, a week after the trials, I found out. Like,
it was like, it was right after.
It was so quick after, which I think was a good thing mentally to just like get back to
straight
it
back on the horse,
just steeple like again before I let the like fear fester of like falling in a steeple. But yeah, I was warming up for the race and I jumped a hurdle and I. Wiped out. Like it might have been worse than my Olympic trials wipeout. I like literally rolled on the track and Dathan was like, all right, you good? I was like, yeah, I'm good. That won't happen again. He was like, okay, good. Don't do anymore. Just get to the call room.
Oh, that was on the warm-up track?
Yeah, that was warm-up track.
Okay, that's better because I've seen people do it on the actual track.
Oh, like once they come out?
When they're doing the track.
I have a rule. I don't steeple on the actual track once they come out. I
really?
Because what if I fall right when I'm getting on the start line? Like, that's even worse.
Good rule.
So
I have no thought about that.
Yeah. So
well, Olivia ended up coming fourth in that race so and qualifying for the Diamond League final. Yeah. So all was well.
And I got a little PR too. So it was good. But I didn't fall in that race, so that was, like, the main thing. I was like, okay, I got through a race without falling. And there is still, you know, then I had, I don't know, months before I raced the Diamond League final. I was hoping to get into a steeple sooner to try to run a fast time because I think by the end of the season, by the Diamond League final, I was a little burnt out. But, yeah.
I don't know how you didn't get into Rome.
That's...
They don't like
politics.
Americans.
No,
that's what I was told.
That's
because
that seemed
like.
Political.
I remember asking Ritz. I was
they
like, why
Americans
is Olivia
there.
Not in?
They had a bunch of
it. They had the top ones, but the people that call it like that were in the actual race, like I don't want to be a dick, but like the last maybe one third of the race, they were just slow. They were not like a Diamond League standard, but I think they just put them in because they didn't want to have like six Americans in.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is like they have like six other people in the country. Like I think one time they had five Australians in one race.
I think they had like a ton of Polish people too, which was so random.
A bit random. Polish. But I think Dathan just said the meet director is not a fan of Americans for whatever reason. It might be a bit political, but I mean, hopefully you'll get there at some point. I mean,
you will get there.
Yeah.
You're already there. What is that?
You're already there. Is there a race like looking into, because you obviously newly started a professional career, is there a race that you really want to like look forward to doing if it's a Diamond League or?
Yeah. I mean, any Diamond League, just being able to place high at that level would be. Super exciting. Yeah, Eugene would be fun being in the US too.
Eugene would be sick. I think any American is like Eugene Diamond League would be pretty epic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you know what your season looks like now? Because I mean, we went through your past results in college and you were so consistent at performing across all three seasons, cross country, indoors and outdoors. And now as a pro, you know, you don't quite have that same structure.
Yeah.
How are you going to do it with indoors and then leading into outdoors? Do you have that planned out?
A little bit. I got confirmed for Melrose, which is exciting. Hell, I get to do for another 3K.
2 mile? 3K.
Yeah. It's 3K, right?
Maybe for it might be women 3K. Okay. Men 2 mile or something. I think that's how it was
is
last
year. Is it a 2 mile again?
I was told it was a 3K because me and Yara are doing it. But maybe I'm wrong.
It does sometimes like switch back
and
forth.
It's normally
it's like 3K, 2 mile, 3K, 2 mile.
Yeah. I think it was a 2 mile because Kerr wanted to break the world record.
Possible.
Well, best or whatever it's called. But I don't know. We'll see. But
very cool.
That makes sense.
That'd be exciting. Yeah.
Have you run mirrors?
I haven't. I got invited last year, but it was in between our Notre Dame like DMR meet and then NCAAs. So it would have been too much to race through, or in between the DMR meet and ACCs. So it would have been a lot to race 3 weekends in a row. Mm. But then I'll do USAs, indoor USAs. And I think that's going to be it for...
Would you go to World Indoors?
Unless you make Worlds.
I think Dathan said I wouldn't go, even
crazy
if I make it.
Crazy spoiler.
I know. Crazy.
We could change that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I think because I might try to do a steeple a little earlier in the spring, so he doesn't want me going to China before that.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah.
And then outdoors, you don't know yet? Just depends what races you get into?
Yeah. Just try to get into any Diamond League steeple I can. And
yeah.
You think you're running a flat outdoor race?
I want to race a 5K really bad, yeah. Mm. I've only done 2 in my life, like on the track, so.
You have a good PB, right? Like 15:20?
15:23 in the Echoes at ACC's.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
So I want to see what I can do.
Somebody else has done that too on our team.
Yeah, what is with these? Dylan, like, started people running super shoes on the track.
And Joe Klicker ran the Echo 10K standard, and it didn't qualify because the shoe was apparently illegal, even though it was a disadvantage wearing that shoe.
Oh my gosh. Oh no.
Yeah, we have people on the team that like to run in super shoes for that. So
Dylan went into the ways wearing Vaporfly.
Yeah. Very interesting.
That's crazy. Down.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
What is the... Has the women's steeple standard changed?
I think it's down to...
It was 9:23 last year?
It was 9:23. I think it's down to 9:18.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can
do
I
you have that from the final?
No, because I didn't. Because Brussels Diamond League final, did not run well. I was very burnt out by that race.
And Paris was too early.
Paris was too early for the window, and it was also like in Brussels, it was very frigid cold.
Yeah, it rained the day before, and I was looking at Olivia. I was like, "Damn, I would not want to hurdle right now." I didn't say that.
Oh
to
my
you,
gosh, it was hailing. It was hailing.
And Yared was up. We were doing like our drills and strides up in the stadium, and Yared was just like, "It's not gonna be like this tomorrow. It's not gonna be like this tomorrow." And I'm like, "Yared, it could be like this tomorrow." He's like, "No, it's not. It's not. I'm not gonna race if it is." I'm like, "Dude."
Oh my gosh, I also tried to do
just dramatic about it, but it's funny.
He hates the weather. Too.
He hates the rain. He hates the rain. But I was thinking about you, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, I would not want to hurdle on that." But it turned out to be okay. It was a bit cold, but
it was very cold. I tried to do a water jump in the pre-meet, and Dathan was like trying to dry off the hurdle, but and the pit was like overflowing.
Dathan's just drying
the rain.
In race. Just
between laps. They actually should. I wish they would do that because water jumping in the rain is
be
terrifying.
Be like in tennis with the ball boy. You know, the ball boy goes and grabs the ball. It's like somebody
or in basketball, they dry the court so while they're at the other end.
Dang, so yeah,
sounds like it's definitely doable.
I was trying to do a water jump with like the new spikes too, because we were just in Zurich before that. So I got some new steeple spikes and they were a little bit thicker. And then I ended up just slipping right off the barrier in pre-meet. So every steeple this summer was
something.
You know, something. Yeah. I after that season, just falling and all that stuff so many times, I was like, okay, I need a good reset. Just like forget all that, put it in the past, mentally reset and have a nice long build into outdoor.
Fresh start on the steeple, 2025.
Exactly. Work on a lot of form drills. Yeah. Learn a thing or two from you.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
Just one thing that you like kind of related to what you're saying, speaking about standards and people got them last year. Do you guys ever think about the fact that now that the spike regulations have changed, people will have run the standards in illegal spikes?
I have not thought about that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
And it's still going to count?
Yep. Whoa,
I haven't heard anything about it.
They can't.
That's
sure it will because the
World Athletics ranking points and standard will all count.
How weird is that?
And the spikes will, like, it's not like they were illegal.
How weird is that?
So a lot of those... Like
Dude,
results, records, everything, they won't remove them. They're just getting rid of the shoe
That's I don't know why they went backwards. They should have just said, kept it. We're going to keep it. Because what's the difference between 20 and 25?
Well, apparently...
we'll probably find out pretty soon.
Apparently there is a difference, but I
December,
mean,
that BU meet will be the first meet with 20 mil.
Is limits. It in de- is the change in December?
I think it's already... It might have already happened.
I think it's already
It was
happened.
Like maybe November 1st.
Yeah. I think it's this month. Because Jordan was talking about trying to get the spikes verified or whatever, like for on
approved.
a lot of the verified on Instagram. a lot of the spikes, I think, like not just for like company like On, but a lot of the company spikes needed it done now because then they got a production and make sure it's like no issues with it.
Surely we're gonna run into some drama where someone like runs the standard in shoes that are technically
it's
legal.
It's definitely gonna happen.
And like no one stopped them before the race, and then someone's gonna like see a picture after him.
It's
be
definitely
like,
gonna happen.
Yeah,
there's gonna be people that probably didn't realize or that their shoe was.
It could easily happen next week or in 2 weeks. It'd be you. Yeah. Someone will just be like wearing a shoe that their college gave them that they don't know is illegal.
Yeah, because like I mean, I don't even know if the other brands. I mean, we don't have legal shoes yet, do we?
We do not. No,
we
don't.
We'd
get
have
them
to race in the old ones.
I don't think so. Yeah, we'd have to go. No, those.
No,
are,
those are legal those as well. Legal
even either.
The original
even
ones,
the Cloud Spike,
the OG one.
It's like it's 21.
It's 21.
Yeah.
So,
but there legal. Is, well, but it is the NCAA kids? Actually, it probably doesn't matter. It matters for Graham because Graham's trying to hit the standard. But the NCAA kids actually. Can probably do what the fuck they want.
Yeah, they can wear Vaporflies.
Yeah, they probably wear Vaporflies at BU.
Mm. Why not? Get that double bounce. But yeah, just a random little thought that I was like, I'm surprised I haven't seen anything about this because it seems like a weird, there's going to be a weird adjustment period with all that. But yeah, with that said, Olivia, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about while you have this beautiful platform today?
I don't think so. I mean, just thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure to be on this team and get to know all you guys.
What would you rate the team out of 10 so far? We used to ask that question. We've forgotten.
Really?
Our last couple of guests were forgotten.
Yeah.
Yared said like 4 or something. I swear.
Yared said 4 and then we had him on again. He said 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang. I don't know. I would honestly say 10 out of 10. I feel like it's been a fun vibe with all the good house vibes.
We've had some really good team culture.
It's been a real balanced
trips. Like the karaoke night at your housewarming place was fantastic.
It was so fun.
We've had some great, we had the gala. We've had a couple little fun things to do as a team.
Good vibes in the gym.
Yeah,
we
vibes
got,
in the gym.
We got the Christmas party this
Christmas
weekend.
Christmas party's coming up.
This weekend.
Yeah, I believe.
Oh, wow.
It's been very good vibes.
Oh, we didn't even say happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We're
like, this is
Thanksgiving episode.
Thursday.
Oh my gosh.
Olivia, what are you thankful for?
Happy Turkey Day.
Oh, I'm thankful for this team.
Yeah, I'm thankful for this team as well.
Olivia's just sticking to the script.
No, honestly, it's like, this is all I wanted was like a team that kind of felt like college and people that hung out together and supported each other. And that's exactly what this is. So I'm super, super thankful and lucky that I get to be a part of it.
And if you didn't like it, you just go back to your original plans of just getting a job.
Yeah, exactly, which I'm very thankful I'm not going to do.
Amazing. Well, on that heartwarming note, I think we can
One more thing.
What is it?
I had to phone a friend to get the NAU.
The song?
The song.
What is it?
The song, at least of 2019. I don't know why I can remember. That was just on repeat the whole season. How to Love, Lil Wayne.
That's not what I would have expected.
I expected some sort of like...
That's just like a good song, but it's not like a.
It's not a bang. Like it's not a pump up.
It's
no.
not a pump up song. That was just your vibe, though.
That was just the vibe that
I respect it. I respect
that's
it.
That's what
I
Mike Smith wanted
Lil Wayne
to be.
Wow. So
amazing! I'm happy we got to the bottom of that.
Shout out Cade Burks for the phone friend.
I love it. But Olivia, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This has been episode 162 of the Coffee Club podcast. And have a lovely Thanksgiving. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye.